BBC, Holby City, starring Michael Thompson as Johnny, James Anderson as Oliver, Catherine Russell as Serena, and Hugh Quashie as Rick. Last Day on Earth by Tarsin Guna. Previously, Rick greets Serena.
Welcome to Keller.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to working here. I think it's going to be fun.
A female consultant skilled at manipulating people. She makes Connie Beecham look like Mother Teresa.
Yikes. Straight A student. Oliver.
Tarlo, I'm in UF1.
Go round your opponent and outflank them.
I'll do whatever I can to support you.
Thank you. I won't make any more mistakes.
Yeah, it's saying things like that that worries me.
Do you think this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
ET to Donor Hospital, 45 minutes. But we can use the blue light on the way back, so we'll shoot through any traffic.
Okay. Well,
she's free from infection, and her chest x-rays have come back clear. So we'll start prepping her
as soon as you give us the go-ahead.
Roger that. Over and out. What?
Roger that. Over and out. Not going behind enemy lines.
I bet you'd like it if we were. All those men in uniform.
Just try not to make it look like you're having too much fun.
Storm on the horizon. Race against time to save a young girl's life. What's not to love?
A brooding dark sky hangs overhead as Mo and Johnny's transplant car races along a road.
Right, return trip should take about 2 hours. Make sure theatre staff are in place. Nurse, here are Jenny's OBS. Change them from 30 to 15 minutes. Keep an eye on her BP. Let me know if there's any alteration.
Nurse, let's keep Miss Margaret's OBS at 30 and let me know if there are any problems. Thank you. How's she doing?
Amazing.
It's all right, Mum.
Considering.
Oh, you chauffeured around by Mr. Hanson, did it?
Teenage Jenny is sitting on a bed with her mother, Samantha, standing at her side.
How are you feeling?
Still haven't heard from Drew.
Well, if you give me his number, I can keep trying for you. Is there anyone else you want me to call?
No, there's no one else.
Any news on the...
Our team are almost at the donor hospital. Once they're there, they'll inspect the heart, and all being well, we'll start prepping you.
What if it doesn't pass inspection?
In this case, that's not likely.
Why is that?
The victim's young. Healthy.
How young?
Late teens.
What happened?
He was hit by a car. I can't give you any more information than that. But I can tell you that he was carrying a signed donor card. That's what he wanted.
One down, three to go.
Oh, I got hold of Mr. Webb. He's on his way in. Excellent.
I assume there's a good reason for all this commotion.
What are you doing here? I thought you were off.
So this is what you get up to when the cat's away.
Oh, that's how you see yourself, is it? The cat and me the mouse. We can compare animal metaphors later. I've got three more operations to get through.
Three?
Holby's competing with St. James's for a regional contract to be the chief provider of 3D advanced laparoscopic surgery. But the deadline's tomorrow morning, and one of my spies tells me St. James's is in the lead.
So you decided on a bit of last-minute conveyor belt surgery?
Well, you've got something against faster recovery times, improved cosmetic results, shorter waiting lists.
And what if there's a major accident? You are aware that after-hours use of theatre is for emergencies only, no electives.
That only applies after midnight.
And not a second past.
Or what? You'll put me over your knee.
Metaphorically speaking.
I've been working on this contract for weeks. I'm not about to let it slip through my fingers.
Well,
sorry to interrupt, but I need your help.
Oh, I'm on a watertight schedule.
OK. Sorry, I've just been summoned by the ED. Can't keep them waiting. Yep, I'm on the way.
Serena sighs.
Oh. Felix Wellington, 42, diabetic. Abdominal pain, ketoacidosis. He was sent up from AAU. He was stable till he got here.
How long has he been hyperglycemic?
About 2 to 3 hours.
OK, set up an immediate insulin and dextrose IV. That should stabilise him. Excuse me, can you contact the diabetes team, please?
Sure.
Check potassium and renal function and do another ABG.
Do you want me to cancel your collective slot?
Absolutely not. Mr. Griffin can take over here when he gets back. Oh, and don't forget to prep my next patient.
Arriving at a hospital, Mo and Johnny head down an empty corridor to a set of double doors. Mo looks through a glazed panel to another empty corridor beyond.
Where is everyone?
You can't just wait here.
Hang on!
Johnny takes off in another direction, and Mo follows. They stop beside an open door. A middle-aged man in tracky bottoms is talking to two staff members.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't let you.
Tara's listening to Jenny's heart through a stethoscope when a young man comes in carrying a bunch of balloons, a box of chocolates, and a huge teddy bear. It's Drew.
Where have you been?
I was at a party. Didn't leave my phone.
Oh, a party?
Online thing, yeah. Friend of a friend of a friend. I updated my profile status, thought you would have seen it. It's an Auntie Jubilee party.
But could you give us a moment alone, please?
Blonde-haired Jenny looks from her mum to Tara. They take the hint and leave.
I'm sorry, I didn't see your message.
Don't worry about it, just... Did you bring it?
Drew pulls a small book out of his pocket and hands it to her.
Are you going to call him?
I don't know. But why don't you go back to the party?
I can't just leave you.
I'd rather you were out there having fun than sitting in here watching me get poked and prodded all night.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. Take loads of pictures to send me tomorrow morning.
See you tomorrow.
He kisses her.
Tomorrow.
Jenny opens the book. A purple page is blank but for a phone number circled in ballpoint. She tucks the book under the bed sheets. Further down the ward...
Oh, God. So somebody help, please! Please, somebody! Help her, please!
Jenny watches, horrified.
Crash team, please!
She starts to hyperventilate. Samantha and Tara rush over to her as the sounds of the crash team attending to a flatlining patient echo around her. Chantel's smiling face comes into focus. She looks over her shoulder.
Mr. Griffin.
Felix has come round.
Am I dead?
You're very much alive, Mr. Wallington.
What time is it?
Just gone 8 p.m.
8 o'clock.
I'm Mr. Griffin, the Consultant General Surgeon. How are you feeling? You appear not to have taken your insulin. Is there a reason for that?
There's no point.
Right. Well, an endocrinologist will come down to see you in the morning. In the meantime, we've ordered some tests to assess whether there's been any long-term kidney damage.
Don't bother.
Why is that?
Because there is no long-term. Nothing you can do can make any difference. We're all doomed.
Jenny's calmed. Tara checks her heart.
All right, that's good. Heart rate's returning to normal.
Well done, Jenny.
It's okay, Mum, I'm fine. Stop it. Anyone would think you're the one who's going with the heart surgery.
Everything okay?
So, you know what, I'll come and get you some more magazines, yeah?
Samantha hurries out of the ward.
What are the chances that I won't make it?
It's not as simple as just giving you a figure.
But you hear figures all the time. 40% chance of survival, 60% chance of survival.
Those are generalised. In your specific case, you have every chance of survival.
I could die.
I don't think that's likely.
But you don't know.
Oliver looks uncomfortable.
Look, I know you're scared. And I know you want answers. But life doesn't give us certainties. It sucks, I know.
Thank you, Jenny. Excuse me. Tara with me.
Left alone, Jenny retrieves the notebook from under the sheets. Opening it, she reaches for her mobile on a bed table and punches in a number. Johnny's making a selection at a drink vending machine. Lee, the man in the tracky bottoms, comes over to him.
I don't suppose you've got change for a fiver?
Sure.
a badge.
Hibs fan.
Yeah.
See them much?
Yeah, when I can.
You got some good players.
Thanks.
Johnny gives Lee a handful of change and takes his drink. A donor card.
Have you got one of these? It's Sean's. It's his. That's his signature. He didn't tell me about it, and now I just don't know what to do.
Mrs. Worth, I have to tell you, I'm one of the transplant coordinators for the recipient hospital. I'm so sorry about what's happened to your son. We completely respect your wishes, and we're going to be off soon.
He's not dead. He's still breathing. He could still wake up. Couldn't he?
I'm so sorry. I'm really not supposed to have any contact with you. I promise we're going to be gone in the next few minutes.
And what happens then, if you go?
I'm not sure I understand.
How many lives could he save?
I think you need to talk about this with the transplant team from this hospital.
If I say no, then it's what he wants.
Mr. Swift, you're not alone in refusing donor card wishes. It happens. And we always respect the next of kin's request.
Mo's seen them talking. Chantelle's taking Felix's pulse.
The forecast was clear skies.
Not an exact science, though, is it, the weather?
Exact science.
I've not finished taking you.
You want to see exact? Look. According to my calculations, the Mayan calendar does not run out on December the 21st, 2012, as everyone endlessly blogs about. It runs out tonight.
Right.
But look, see for yourself.
It's interesting.
Mathematics is the language of the universe. And in here, its message is clear.
And what's that?
It's the end.
The end?
Of everything.
Oh. And that's happening tonight, is it?
Yes, exactly.
Are you sure it's not just a little bit of bad weather?
Look, the numbers don't lie. Look!
I tell you what, why don't I make you a cup of tea whilst you're waiting?
You're not taking me seriously, are you?
Of course I am. But we can't face the end of the world without a cup of tea in our hands, can we? That just won't be British. Especially with the Queen's Jubilee and everything.
All right, milk. No sugar, thank you.
That was Mo. There's been a delay at the donor hospital. Father's withdrawn consent. They're going to give him some space. He might just change his mind. Tara, it's never a good idea to get too emotionally involved with a patient.
Do I look emotionally involved?
Not this exact moment, no.
A sausage roll.
Do you know what's in one of those things?
Delicious meaty goodness.
Yeah, about 2% meaty goodness. The rest is cartilage, connective tissue, and testicles.
Jenny's gone! Okay, the party is less than half an hour away, plus she might need medical attention. You stay here in case she turns up. Keep calling her. This is my number.
Hey, wait! You're not going anywhere. We have to call Mr. Hope. He's the on-call consultant.
We don't even know if there is a heart yet. Why risk her place on the transplant
list? Because she may be emotionally unstable, which you'd see if you weren't so involved.
If this was an adult, yeah, I'd agree. But she's not. She's a terrified 17-year-old who needs our help. 1 hour, that's all. Ollie, we can't let her throw this chance away. I'm not asking for your permission. I'm going whether you like it or not.
Wait. Give me your pager.
Tara hands it over.
Nurse, if you need anyone, Mr. Hope's the on-call consultant, Mr. Milton's the registrar, thank you. If the heart becomes available, we tell the transplant team what's happened immediately, understood?
Of course.
I hope you realise we could both get fired for this.
What was I supposed to do? Blank him?
You could have walked away.
Walk away from a grieving father, would you?
Look, if you're seen to be influencing his decision...
Do you really think I would do that?
Not intentionally. But you're the one who's always banging on about how the rules are there to safeguard us against exactly this kind of situation.
I don't have time for an ethical debate.
Then go by the book.
Hello, Pot. My name's Kettle. Pleased to meet you. Look, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. But you asked me. What was I supposed to say?
Just
be careful.
Johnny nods. Sipping a mug of tea, Chantelle watches Felix write in a notebook.
Have you always been good at maths?
Oh, I'm a college professor. But like other illuminated scholars, the establishment didn't want to hear what I had to say. Listen, would you do me a favor and give this number a call?
Who's Alicia?
My girlfriend. I tried calling her before, but the network's all in chaos, as you'd imagine.
Leslie. My next patient good to go?
I count them ready.
Back on track.
Two giggling teenage girls enter Keller.
Ellie, what's you doing here?
Gabby's not well.
Hi, Serena.
Right, oh, I love your hair. So shiny.
Are you drunk?
No. Oh, Gabby retches.
OK, right. Come on, this way. Come along. Eleanor.
Okay.
Right, sit down. Right, do not move.
Having led them to a bay, Serena draws a curtain across.
I'll go and ask my registrar to get started. You keep an eye on them. And in the meantime, not a word to anyone. Understand?
Johnny to Lee.
You ready?
Johnny leads him gently to a window, looking in on a room where his unconscious son, Adam, lies, propped up at a 45-degree angle and hooked up to various pieces of monitoring equipment. Lee forces himself to look, putting a hand across his mouth as tears flow. Tara's driving. Beside her, Oliver looks through some CDs from the glove box.
You've got to be kidding me. Lecture series on human anatomy and physiology. Epidemiological studies of disease. Is this all you listen to?
I asked you to look for the map, not to analyse my CD collection.
Yes, if I could find it underneath all these energy drinks.
Believe in sat-nav.
You don't believe in it?
It teaches over-dependency, which you're demonstrating fantastically.
You were supposed to be studying.
We finished. We need a break.
Temperature 38.5.
Which equates to how many Singapore slings?
None!
Anna says you make a sick hangover cure for eggs and chilies.
You ask her nicely, she can set it up intravenously.
Eleanor.
Pulse 120, BP 150 over 100.
Okay, you've got some tenderness. Right, full bloods, urine, UNEs, CRP, glucose and amylase, please.
Wow. I don't understand a word you just said. That's so amazing.
Years of study and hard work, nothing amazing about it.
No, but it is. People come in, you know, they're weak and they're sick and you make them strong and healthy. It's so amazing. I mean, it's so, so amazing.
Gabby, have you taken anything other than alcohol this evening?
No.
Let me see your pupils.
Why don't you just tell you how amazing you are without you jumping down her throat?
All right, then let me see yours.
I haven't taken anything, okay?
Turn that off.
Pardon?
Nothing I can't manage, thank you, Mr. Griffin.
Rick takes Gabby's phone from her.
Please remember where you are.
Thank you. I'll take it from here.
Here's your gown, and we need a urine sample. Toilets are down there on the right.
They're ready for me in theatre.
Tara and Oliver pull up in a street of three-storey Victorian red brick houses. Tara's first to reach the door of one of them.
Hello? Somebody open the door!
Tara runs round to a side gate and Oliver reluctantly follows. It's locked. She starts to climb the fence beside it.
Give me a leg up.
What?
Come on! Don't be so wet, just give me a shove.
Tara disappears over the top of the fence. Oliver climbs up after her, then loses his balance as he drops down on the other side and lands on top of her. A moment passes between them before the heavens suddenly open and they make their way through a torrential downpour to a door at the rear of the house. The doctor shines a light into Adam's eyes.
He's testing the corneal reflexes, and they use the ultra-sensitive, but in the case of your son, there's no response.
Lee watches intently, his face creased in helpless despair. Chantelle's on the phone.
Hiya, is that Alicia Morley? Hiya, I'm calling from Holby City Hospital. Your partner, Felix Wallington, was admitted this evening. He's stable, but he...
Gabby and Eleanor return to the ward.
Oh.
Stop it. The killjoy is giving us the evil eye.
Gabby lies down on her bed and Eleanor perches beside her. Gabby starts to fit.
Oh my... Gabby,
Chantel!
I'll page Mrs. Campbell.
What?
She asked me to keep her informed.
4 milligram IV push of lorazepam first, please.
Rick draws a curtain around the bed. A doctor presses gently on Adam's chest. On the other side of the window, Lee turns and walks away, too distressed to watch any more. Johnny follows him.
He's barely gone.
I still haven't called his mother.
She... in the States, with a new fella.
Lee slides open his phone. At the house of partying teenagers, Tara and Oliver search the downstairs. They meet up in the hallway.
Anything?
No.
Oliver's upstairs.
Whoever lives here is not going to be very impressed.
A framed photo of Serena and Eleanor.
What have you given her?
Lorazepam. No response.
Why is this happening? 1,000 milligrams phosphonatone, slow IV. I'll take over from here, thank you.
Is there some reason you keep trying to get rid of it?
It's okay, she's just bitten her tongue.
Test results? I'll chase them.
Has your friend taken drugs this evening?
Mr. Griffin, I said I'd deal with this.
Ecstasy.
How many?
Just one, I think.
Have you taken the same thing?
I'm so sorry, Mom.
Serena looks aghast.
Excuse me, nurse.
Chantelle comes over.
Did you manage to speak to Alicia?
Yeah.
And?
She's glad you're okay.
Is she on her way down here?
No.
You did explain what's happening tonight.
Mr. Wallington, the world isn't coming to an end.
Right, how do you explain this? An earthquake and 2 floods in the last 2 hours? World news? Look.
She also said you broke up 2 months ago.
Well, that's the... trial separation.
She seemed to think it was a bit more permanent than that. Is that when you started to think, to realise...
You can go now.
Felix averts his eyes and withdraws into himself. Chantelle leaves him.
BP's returning to normal.
What about you? Nausea? Headaches? Dizziness?
This is unreal.
Well, it's happening. Aren't we lucky? Symptoms.
I feel fine, OK?
You consider yourself very fortunate.
Just to be on the safe side, we're going to have to take your blood, too.
I am aware of that. Thank you.
Do I have to?
I'm
not going to tell my parents, are you?
I'm afraid this isn't something that we can keep from them.
Serena? Please, they'll ground me for weeks. They're not cool like you are.
Gabby, while you're here, you can call me Miss Campbell, and I will be calling your parents myself.
It's likely that the ecstasy is masking an underlying condition. Given your abdominal pains, we're going to have to rule out a few things. Is there any chance that you could be pregnant?
No.
You sure?
I'm not pregnant.
When was your last period?
Mum, stop badgering her.
The labs say they're back out. I've asked them to prioritise Miss Greendale's results. They did do a pregnancy test.
Negative.
See?
Get me a serum serotonin level and run a tox screen on both of them.
Serena's pager.
My team's in theatre. This is the second time I've left them. I've got to go back.
You can't just leave her. What if she goes into one again?
Well,
Mr. Griffin's here, and I'm just a page away. Until we get her results, there's nothing I can do, so just stay with Gabby and try to keep calm. All right?
Rick goes after her.
Serena, with all due respect, I'm not your babysitter.
No, you're the consultant on duty.
She's your daughter.
Meaning?
Meaning that you're better equipped to handle her than I am.
She doesn't need handling. Besides, she's not the patient.
She's on drugs.
That is a private matter which I will deal with tomorrow. As far as her medical condition is concerned, I've examined her. The ecstasy's worn off. She's fine. Page me when you get Gabby's test results.
Tara comes downstairs at the party.
Oh, I've already checked in there. Tara!
A couple snogging.
Denny! Denny! Denny!
It's Drew with a girl who looks like Jenny.
Ran away.
Guys, can you just give us a second, please?
Yeah, well, we thought she might have come after you.
I haven't seen her.
Come on, we tried. We have to call the transplant team.
We can still...
Tara, I'm not in the mood for a wild goose chase.
We've only been going out 3 months. I didn't want all this...
Okay, stop whining and think. Where could she be?
Guys, not now. Sorry.
She might have gone back to the hostel.
Hostel? What are you talking about?
Her dad, he emailed her a few months ago. Not a peep since she was a baby.
And?
Last week, she finally decided to visit Emma at this hostel he's at. We take 3 buses to get there, and she chickens out.
Felix is panicking as the storm rages.
Oh, God, it's coming!
Mr. Wellington, I need you to stay calm.
I stay calm, but we're all gonna die!
Just keep your voice down, please.
What's he going on about? He's mad. Just ignore him.
Excuse me? What did you say? You won't be ignoring me when your whole world is stripped apart!
Calm down, please.
Scaring my friend?
She should be scared!
Mr. Wellington? Tell you what, I'm on a break. How about I read to you?
Read to me.
When you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin.
You okay? I think so.
Is it getting worse?
Look, have you seen my mum?
I'm sure she'll be back soon.
How soon?
She needs to get through some patients for a contract. I'm sure she'll be back as soon as she can.
A contract?
Excuse me.
The question on everyone's lips, are they real or are they fake? Commentators have speculated that while she was in LA, she had her ample bosom augmented by boob surgeon to the...
Any word on the lab results?
Oh, I'll be right back.
Felix picks up the gossip magazine.
Thank you.
Rick studies a piece of paper, then looks across at Gabby and Eleanor. Nighttime, a figure runs across a rain-strafed yard and up some steps to a door. Jenny's blue jacket is soaked as she enters a reception area cluttered with mismatched furniture. A man's vacuuming the threadbare carpet. He switches off the cleaner and turns to her.
Can I help you?
I'm looking for someone.
Who?
Harvey Wilkins. He's a guest.
Yeah.
The man goes behind a desk and flicks through the pages of a register.
Mr. Wilkins. Are you checked out?
When?
A few days ago. Unless you're checking in, you best be up.
On Keller.
Almost at the finishing line. Mr. Webb,
gowned and ready.
This is Greendale's results.
My LFTs are normal.
Yeah, look at the white cell count.
Infection?
Judging from the location, I'd say appendicitis.
Yeah, maybe. Let's monitor her overnight and reassess in the morning.
You don't think that we should operate now?
She's borderline systemically unstable, not toxic. Plus, we don't know what other chemicals might be in her system because of the ecstasy.
And, of course, it's nothing to do with the fact that you have one colectomy patient left to go.
He's right. We care about your stupid contract.
I have had to disturb my theatre twice this evening because you have turned up on my ward drunk and on drugs.
Sorry. Didn't realise.
Maybe I should have paged you first.
Perhaps it would be better if you sat with your friend a while.
I'll be in theatre if anyone needs me.
Mo.
I'll give Valentine a call, tell him the bad news.
You hold off on that one second.
Johnny spotted Lee in the corridor behind them.
How'd it go?
I should expect. I asked about donation, but she could barely say a word. Left it up to me. I want to see him again.
Now, Lee's stroking Adam's hair.
It was a great match, Sean. She'd made it. Still, we'll always have Istanbul, won't we, eh? Trekking to that stadium in the middle of nowhere. Watching Milan tear us apart in the first half. And then those 6 minutes of beautiful madness. Stevie's header. Schmeisser's screamer. Alonso's pen. 3-3. Extra time. Dudek saves. Penalties. Oh, and when we won, I held you so tight. Tightest I've ever held you.
He leans in to kiss his son gently on the cheek. John is sitting waiting in a corridor outside the room.
Okay.
Johnny nods somberly and gets to his feet. Serena sits down in the staff room with a hot drink and wearily studies some patient notes.
Thought you'd be in theatre.
BP's high, we're giving him some time. The one thing I don't have.
Rick pushes the door too.
You know, I would never compromise patient safety to win a contract. Everything I do is for the patient. If I thought Gabby needed an emergency appendectomy, I wouldn't hesitate. But the truth is, I think I've missed something. Could be anemia, chronic illness, thalassemia, cholecystitis. I have got no idea. Sorry, don't know what's got into me tonight.
My son, Leo, we had a tricky relationship. It could drive me up the wall.
My daughter and I do not have a tricky relationship.
I'm just saying that I understand how difficult it can be to negotiate the boundaries.
Negotiate the boundaries? What, and I'm not providing enough, is that it?
No.
She's a teenager who sometimes does what teenagers do. As her mother, I take a pragmatic approach.
I'm saying I understand what you're going through. Forgive me for trying to empathize.
Sorry. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please, tell me your son grew out of it quickly.
He died. Drug overdose.
Rick, I'm so sorry. Would you mind, if you're not too busy, looking over Gabby's test results with me again? I could do with your help.
Serena's pager.
You're collecting me?
Gabby.
BP falling.
She's dehydrated.
Pass me a 14-gauge cannula. Gabby, I'm just going to put a drip in your neck, so just try and relax for me, okay?
Serena inserts a cannula in Gabby's neck, then hooks up a catheter tube. A tearful Eleanor watches her mother perform the procedure with calm efficiency.
She's stabilising.
I was fitting a urinary catheter just before it started. There was PV bleeding.
The pregnancy test was negative.
I think we should call the on-call sonographer. And you and I need to talk, and this time I want the truth before her condition gets any worse.
Tara and Oliver run to the hostel entrance. Inside, Jen is on her mobile.
Jenny! Drew told us about your dad.
Thought this might be my last chance. You said so yourself. Nothing's certain.
I didn't mean you should run away.
He's doing the exact opposite. I have to know.
Know what?
Why he left. Why I didn't think I was worth the time.
Jenny. I'm really sorry, but we have to go back. Now.
The cleaners walked into reception through an office door. He watches them go to leave.
Jenny, wait.
Johnny looks through the glass panel in the door of her relative's room. Lee's sitting alone, staring at the floor. Johnny pushes the door open.
We're off in a minute. I just want to see again how sorry I am.
What you did tonight, helping me.
It was nothing.
Stuck your neck out for me. Thank you.
Lee offers his hand and Johnny shakes it. At the hostel.
Let's just give them a few more minutes.
Are you serious? I think it might take more than a few minutes for her to catch up with the dad that abandoned her as a baby.
Keep your voice down.
Oh, what, so I don't ruin their big reunion? Are you for real?
What do you want me to say?
The truth. I was 2 years old. Why?
Look, you can't just show up like this. And in the middle of the night, demanding answers. It's not fair.
Fair?
I wish I could say it was a struggle. But it wasn't. I didn't even blink. All I saw when I looked at you was my future disappearing. So I ran, put you out of my head, like it never happened. I'm sorry.
What is it with this patient, this girl, that makes you want to risk everything for her? A donor heart, your career, my career.
She's an identical match, practically the same size as the donor. Has prognostic priority.
Yes, I know medically why she should have it. That's not what I'm asking you, is it? Fine, you stay with her if that's what you want. I'm going back to Holby, and I'm going to tell the transplant team what's happened. It's over, Tara. I'm sorry.
The transplant car speeds through the rainy night with blue lights flashing. Inside are an anxious-looking Mo and Johnny, and a box labelled human tissue for transplant. Leaving the hostel, Oliver answers his mobile.
Mo!
Good news. Father consented, 8:30 inspection.
We're on our way. ETA, 10:00.
Tara.
I thought you'd gone.
The heart's an hour away.
What?
Get her.
How? You saw how determined she was to speak to him tonight.
I don't care. Just do what it takes.
Tara knocks on a door, then opens it warily. Felix flinches at a flash of lightning.
It's less than 1 hour to go.
Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine.
Look, would you stay with me?
I'm just going to check that your results are back in, and then I'll come right back.
Come on, spit it out. I thought it was just a dodgy E. It was her idea.
Go on.
I took a urine test for her.
Do you have any idea how much danger you might have put her in?
She begged. She wasn't keeping it anyway, and her parents would go mad if they found out. I was trying to do the right thing.
Well, you couldn't have got it more wrong.
I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, look, just go back to Gabby and try and keep her calm. That's the best way you can help for now, all right?
Rick shows Serena some test results.
Free fluid, tubal mass.
Ectopic. Ha,
They have been so stupid.
Teenagers.
No. No, it's my fault. I got distracted. I took my eye off the ball.
You didn't know they were lying. Neither of us did.
I'm her mother. I should have seen it. Serena Campbell Keller, page the on-call obstetrician. Tell him it's an emergency.
Mr. Wallington?
Felix's bed is empty. He's cowering under a blanket on the floor beside it.
Mr. Wallington, come out of there.
Nope.
I just want to talk to you.
Well, then you come under here.
I'm not getting under the bed with you.
Oh, God.
As soon as Mr. West BP comes down, he goes straight in, OK?
Eleanor approaches Serena at the nurse's station.
How long is she going to be in theatre?
I don't know. The obstetrician will page us as soon as it's over.
Isn't there anything you can do?
Not my field. You'll just have to go and sit and wait.
Mum, I'm sorry.
So you said.
Well, what else can I say?
For now, I think it's best you say very little.
What's wrong?
40 minutes left. Do all bad.
Felix grips Chantelle's hand tightly. Tara drives through the bucketing rain with Oliver beside her. In the back are Jenny and her dad.
Did he really have to come?
He said whatever it takes, remember?
How much time have we got?
Enough. Can't you go any faster?
Barely see the road.
I thought you'd like to live on the edge. At this rate, the heart's going to get there before we do. And Tara, if that...
Yeah, well, we won't get there at all if I crash. The likelihood of which increases the more you distract me.
Tara slams on the brakes to avoid careering into a stationary car. They're stuck behind a queue of traffic. Up ahead, the road's been blocked by an accident. Rick's operating on Gabby.
What happened?
The obstetrician made a hole with a varus needle in the transverse colon.
Next topic?
All done. You think you can repair the tear laparoscopically?
Well, is it a through-and-through injury?
Can't tell.
No, I need to see the other side of the bowel. Skin knife, please.
Come on, why aren't we moving?
How long have we got?
Half an hour, if we're lucky.
Tara, please, can you just try and get through?
How? It's bumper to
because
bumper.
I think I can see a gap.
That's not a gap, that's a crawl space. Look a bit harder.
OK, well, at least I'm coming up with sensible solutions rather than pointlessly hammering the horn.
Yeah, well, a solution that obeys the laws of physics would be helpful.
Go. Mo.
Okay, we've made some time.
ETA 20 minutes, it's stroke of midnight.
Tell us to take her to theatre.
Will do.
You're not going to be fine. Just
we've got till midnight.
Oliver gets out of the car and goes to see what's happening. A nurse intercepts Elliot on Darwin.
Mr. Hope, I have a patient for you to see.
Right, I'll see him straight away. It can't be too long, understand?
Samantha pulls the curtains around Jenny's bed.
Yeah, OK, all right, just stay out of his way. Don't say anything to him. We're going to be there soon. Mr. Hope's arrived.
Talk to the emergency crew. They're going to clear these cars, arrange a blue light escort.
Well, how soon?
Well, as quickly as they can. You're more than welcome to go out there and supervise.
You tell them how critical this is.
No, Tara, I told them that Jenny sprained her wrist and was late for a piano recital.
I was just thinking... if I do get through this... I'm going to have a normal life, am I? I'm always going to have this shadow hanging over me.
We all have a shadow hanging over us. Just some more than others.
What do you mean?
I mean, the most important thing is to appreciate the opportunity you've been given. I see anything that matters.
We're off.
They put on their seatbelts.
Let's go.
Tara pulls out of the queue to follow a police car. Elliot pulls back the curtain round Jenny's bed and stands there for a moment, bemused to see it empty, before turning away. In theatre.
No, I won't be long. Yeah, no, have him ready. Thank you.
You're not still finishing the electives?
I've only got one left.
It's almost midnight. Serena.
I am not losing this contract.
Oliver shoots an anxious sideways glance at Tara as she drives. It's 3 minutes to midnight. Elliot's pacing around outside a theatre.
Has anyone seen the patient?
With a sigh, he reaches into a pocket for his phone. Tara and her police escort arrive outside the Wyvern entrance. As they all head inside, they're met by Samantha, whose face registers shock as she clocks her ex-husband. Mo's on her phone in the back of the transplant car.
I told Valentine to tell you to take her into the theatre.
Well, nothing would please me more. However...
What's wrong?
Never mind. Quickly. I don't want to ask, do I?
No.
There's the tube, right side.
The endoloop has slipped from the ectopic.
Clamps, please.
Serena works quickly.
Ties. You can stabilise her.
Yeah, let's leave in a drain. Close her up. Let my registrar know I'll be ready in about 15 minutes.
Cancel that.
Excuse me?
You ran out of time.
Do as I asked. You can argue this with Hansen in the morning. He wants this contract as much as I do.
Not at the expense of a lawsuit. Come on, whether you care to admit it or not, you've had a difficult night. You know I'm right. It does occasionally happen.
Get my registrar back on the line. Tell him to stand down.
On Keller, Chantel's still holding Felix's hand under a blanket at the side of his bed. Felix has his eyes clamped shut. Chantel glances at him, then at her fob watch.
Mr. Wellington, It's a minute past midnight. It's a new day. We're still here.
Felix opens his eyes, looks at his watch, then covers his face with his hands.
Oh, God. I don't understand.
I thought you'd be happy.
Miss Lane, test results.
Oh, thanks. Even better news, your user knees are fine. No kidney damage.
Felix looks dismayed.
I remember the last time I broke up with somebody. Felt like the world was coming to an end for me too.
Is that what you think this is? A delusion?
I think you've had a really hard time, but it's going to get better. And we're going to get you some help.
I'm not sure there is help for someone like me.
Supposed to mean?
Unemployed, middle-aged, on the verge of, you know...
I'm not a psychiatrist, but I think you went a bit beyond the verge tonight. Think of today as the first day of the rest of your life. New start.
Just like that.
Why not?
We'll see.
One day at a time.
Do I have to go back up now?
I think we can stay here for a few minutes longer if you like.
Rain cascades off the front of the Wyvern building as the transplant car drives underneath it, then turns to pull up outside the canopied entrance. Johnny takes the transplant box from Mo as she gets out of the back, and they both rush inside. As they head down a corridor, Johnny passes the box back to Mo, who then hands it to someone outside the theatre. Elliot places Jenny's heart in a dish and picks up the new one. He examines it closely before going to place it in Jenny's chest cavity. At the observation window, Oliver and Tara are joined by Mo and Johnny. Time passes as the operation continues into the night. On Keller, Felix stands at a window looking out into the night, oblivious to the constant activity of the staff on the ward. Tara looks awestruck as she watches Elliot at work.
Okay. Turn off the heart bypass machine, please.
She grips Oliver's arm as Elliot watches the new heart start to rise and fall rhythmically.
Beating nicely.
Elliot looks up at his rapt audience.
Always magical, isn't it?
Night turns to day, and the sun rises into a clear blue sky, causing Felix to squint at the window as it bathes his face in its golden rays. He turns away from the window and walks back onto the ward, where he's met by Chantelle's beaming smile. Eleanor's waiting outside some doors, from which Zarina emerges on her mobile.
Well, thank you very much for letting me know. Once again, I can't apologise enough. Yeah. Thanks, bye.
No, raw egg and chilies.
That was our neighbour, Mr. Hallier. Just how many drunk teenagers am I going to find sleeping on the floor?
It all got a bit out of hand.
Out of hand? Music blaring till the early hours, people vomiting in the garden, strangers in the house. What's got into you?
Oh, no,
you're not turning on the water boy, it's not this time. I'm not going to give you any lectures, you know the facts. I can't watch you 24/7. So I have to trust you. Next time you decide to throw a free-for-all in my house, your cool mother won't hesitate to call the police, do you understand?
Eleanor nods.
Go home. Mr. Hanley is going to help me get rid of whoever's still there and clean the house spotlessly. I'll talk some more when I get back.
Eleanor goes to leave, then looks back.
Mum, Gabby was right about one thing last night.
What's that?
You're amazing.
The slightest hint of a smile twitches the corners of Serena's lips.
Eleanor. I forgot to say you're grounded for the next month.
Well, your obs are looking great. We'll have you out of here in no time.
Thank you. Both of you.
Oliver and Tara share a look.
All in a night's work.
Oliver squeezes Tara's shoulder as he leaves.
Are you and him?
Oh, God, no. I mean, no. He's just a colleague. But I guess we were both lucky he was working last night.
In the consultant's office, Rick depresses the plunger on a cafetiere of coffee. Serena walks in and sits down at her desk.
Kids. Why?
Can I just you a cup of coffee?
I've got a better idea.
A hand slips a set of keys out from under a pot, then opens the door of Albie's bar.
Shall I ask how you know where the manager keeps a spare key?
I have my sources.
One of your spies?
Bloody Mary.
Rick gestures in approval and takes a seat at the bar.
How's your daughter?
Fine. Also, none of your concern. If I hear any rumours about her, I'll assume they came from you.
Do you really think that I would go to those lengths to undermine you?
I don't know what you're capable of.
Well, I'll keep the gloves on if you do.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
On?
Changing my mind. Needless to say, you witnessed an extremely rare occurrence, like an eclipse or a supernova.
Well, wish I'd brought a camera.
Rest assured, I won't be quite so easily swayed on future electives.
It doesn't need much room for negotiation.
Well, then to the next battle it is.
They clink glasses. Johnny and Mo head out of the hospital.
You look awful.
You look like the back of a horse's arse. You all right?
Yeah, of course, maybe not me.
You go soft on me. I'm trading you in.
Tara's bought sausage rolls for her and Oliver.
After what you told me last night, I don't know if I can.
No better way to start the day, if you ask me.
What was going on last night?
What do you mean?
Straight take Tara Lowe jeopardises her entire career over a girl.
So did Squeaky Clean Oliver Valentine. What's that about? Maybe it's because it was the right thing to do.
It wasn't. We jeopardised a transplant organ. Somebody could have died.
Well, no one died. And we saved a life.
What did you mean about living under a shadow?
What?
In the car, what you said to Jenny, we all live under a shadow.
Clock's ticking for all of us. None of us know when or where. We work in a hospital we see every day.
Oliver wags his sausage roll at her.
I don't understand you.
Good. See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tara walks away.